All right, it's game day. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition. Wherever you are watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Welcome aboard. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, and Jake Schultz with you for the next two, not one, 2 hours.
Yes, sir. Game day at long last. Yeah. Yeah. What's going on?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Sammy? I'm good, Sammy.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a snowy night in Toronto last night. It felt like winter, you know, mid-January or late January now. It felt like actually winter for a change here.
I know. So. After last winter, this is kind of nice.
Yeah. There's a bit of snow on the ground.
I see you got your Real Kipper and Bourne hoodie, yeah, which is great. Looks fantastic.
Thanks.
But, like, I'm starting to, like, one of the first things I look at is, like, what cap is Sammy wearing today? I do believe that you just do not grab the first one by the door.
It was the first thing I asked him today.
You've got something going on here. When you put on a Blue Jay hat, it's like you got something going on. Like, what is it? A signing soon? What?
Quite frankly, it actually is the closest to the door. I have at least 150, 200 hats in my home, and about 10 of them are in the, like, little walkway. There's, like, my go-to hats, and this is one of the go-to hats. There was a bunch of Leaf hats laying around there. I don't only wear a Leafs hat on the show, so I went with the Jays today. Decided between Jays and Attack, and I went with the Jays today.
Okay.
So there's
Do
no, there's
believe
no,
him?
There's no formula.
I do, in
there's
this case,
no
believe
formula.
That. But generally, there's something. So today's just a laziness. I'll
yeah.
On that.
There's no formula.
It is interesting you never wear a Leafs hat on the show, considering your role is to be that guy.
I know. I don't know. Just never do it.
No more baseball.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I mean, the thing is, I have a fantastic collection of Leafs hats. I probably have 15 of the finest Leafs hats in the land. And I never put them on.
Nice.
Have you ever thrown out hats? Like,
oh, yeah.
Eventually, there's no room to put them.
Every year, I do, like, a purge of hats that I don't wear. And then I either give them to my buddy Eric Prime, who gets a bunch of hand-me-downs. He used to work for The Fan. He gets a bunch of hand-me-downs. And last year, my Swansea softball league, I just took literally a duffel bag full of hats. I was like, here you go, fellas and ladies, just have your way. And they took them. So there you go.
I do that with popcorn at the beach with seagulls.
but the thing is, I have a ton of really nice ones. And then they just fall out of favor. They follow the rotation. So then somebody else can wear them. There you go.
All right. As we mentioned, game day for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Minnesota Wild make their only trip to Scotiabank Arena, which leads us to Billy Guerin.
Yeah, joining us, the Minnesota Wild.
We always have so much fun with him. I'm not sure how much fun he's having lately with some key injuries to his star players, including Kirill the Thrill out, I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but clearly a targeted surgery to clean up whatever's bothering him around the shutdown of Four Nations tournament.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Leafs are in a remarkably similar position to Minnesota. So they're without Kirill. Leafs are without Tavares and Knies. Points percentage, both these teams, 620, 5-on-5 goals. It's 100-98 goals against. It's 144-143. They're the same team. We have the same team playing each other tonight.
One stat that you have here, Sammy, that kind of caught me off guard a little bit was the fact that the Leafs have been so successful the last few years against the Western Conference.
Pump them.
10-5-1 so far this year, which is, I think, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But last year they went 24-6-2. Like, that's off the charts.
Yeah.
Kind of success.
It is. It's a bizarre
Can you explain
too.
It?
Yeah, the West sucks. That's why the Oilers get to go to the finals every year.
No.
They have to play against cupcake
schedules. No, to me, it I don't know, style of play or what, but they may be considered overall the weaker conference the last few years, but like
it's flipping
to go 24-6-2.
That's wild. How about the Maple Leafs have not lost in regulation in 9 straight against the Wild.
So there you go. But no
ownership.
I look at the Leafs have a good record like that against a lot of teams because they've been really good in the regular season for 6 or 7 years. 8 years. But look at the teams. It's the San Jose Sharks. It's Chicago. It's the Kraken. It's the Ducks. It's the Blues. It's the Phoenix Coyotes. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's not a lot of great teams. They've had good success against some of the top teams too. So I'm not that surprised with that.
How about Dallas? No Heiskanen. Anyway, yeah.
We'll get into that. Plenty, probably, maybe we'll have some sort of report on him because we have not heard yet on Miro's injury last night to and what it means to Dallas just yet. But more on that in the National Hour. In the meantime, let's go to Craig Berube for our first Kippers Clipper on meeting the Minnesota Wild.
Very good road team. If you look at their record, very good structure. You know, they got some real good players too. I know Kaprizov out, but very structured team. They make you work for offense, you know, goals. They do a good job with their structure and their D zone, and, you know, they don't give you a lot, you know, and their goalies have played well.
What do you call them?
Kaprizov?
Kaprizov.
He's close.
They're 7-5-1 without Kaprizov, as he would say, and they are 22-12-3 with him. So yeah, they're a different squad without him in the lineup. Clearly, he's one of the best players in the league. That makes sense, but it is a bit of an easier test without him in the lineup.
So to set the stage, with the Leafs still having some injuries tonight, you have Max Pacioretty returns. He's going to sub in on the third line along with Fraser Minton and Nick Robertson. That's their third line tonight. Domi and Holmberg are up on Nylander's line, the second line. Other than that, not too many changes. Tavares is apparently practicing in a blue jersey. I think he may be good by the weekend. Nyes is good to go on the weekend. So Leafs close to getting healthy, but still with a somewhat patchy lineup tonight. And I imagine that's because missing tonight kind of gives you that full healing time for everyone between games.
Yeah, listen, they've built a cushion up here, so that I think they can have a little bit of a less pressing need to get guys back in the lineup. Nyes is another one that we will see on the weekend, but give him another 3 days off completely isn't the worst idea ever. And like, there's really good opportunities here for some secondary scoring to step up. And that's basically it, is it not? It's just opportunity after opportunity for guys to find ways to contribute now.
Is there an owl in here?
Who? This is Nick Robertson, learn to shoot it in the net, or what? You know, it's not going to be Minton or Lorenz or Kampf or Reeves. Maybe Domi. Robertson or Domi. Could one of you two get us a goal tonight?
I know you've brought this up a couple times, but, like, Berube will not put Max Domi with Austin.
No. I think he likes the...
He wants a puck getter for him, I think.
They've done Nyes for extended period. And
but there was once upon a time that was a big element also of re-signing Max Domi. Because we talked about it and everybody else talked about it, that if needed, he's shown that he could play with Austin, he can create with Austin. And it's not over the course of, like, he is now Austin's left winger. But when there were opportunities in the past, he's shown that he can hold his own for a week or two.
Yeah, I don't think that people said, you know, he's shown that he can play with Austin. I think people said, if you need someone to step into the top six, he's a guy who can do it. And I think he's...
But I'm speaking specifically with Austin. They have shown last year that they could create a little bit of chemistry.
For sure.
And I'm just wondering, on a game like Saturday night... You know, is there ever going to be an opportunity? Like, and I'm not suggesting that McMahon isn't a better suited guy for Austin or Matthew Nyes. But I'm just finding it a little strange over 50 games now that he's really not leaning towards that at all.
Yeah, I did the morning show with Gunnar and Ennis, and we were talking about the conversation we had earlier in the year where it's been a little bit frustrating watching Berube learn things that we've learned watching the Leafs closely the past two seasons, which is, McMahon, pretty good player, not a healthy scratch. You know, starts the year as a healthy scratch. It's like, that's not right. I promise you that's not right. Here we are. It's like, oh, Nylander, he's not a 17.5 minute a night guy. And then eventually they get figured out and he's playing a whole bunch. We're like, could have told you that. It's like, now you're watching this, Kip, waiting for the Domi thing where it's like, we started playoffs with him as Matthews' left winger with healthy guys. They chose Domi to be there, and I think it was with McMahon. Was that their other winger?
No, Bertuzzi.
Bertuzzi. Yeah. It was Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, by choice. And so to your point, it's like, we know that it works. And so it's kind of frustrating watching him. Like, I feel like at some point he'll try it and it'll click and it'll be like, Just ask the people who've been here. Yeah. We've answered a lot of these questions.
We made the comparison earlier in the year, like searching for your wallet.
When someone else is like, have you checked your pockets?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, we checked there.
I checked it. You know, it's just like, I definitely, go ahead.
But no, I get McMahon's okay there for sure. But yes. Like Max needs something to get going. Like Max needs Austin more than McMahon does right now. And for the greater good of the team, I'm talking about.
And even if you did Max, McMahon, and Matthews, the three of them, Mitch has driven a line with great success this year. He's been very good. You know, if him and Willie could play together if they had to. I mean, it would be worth doing something to see if you can get Max going for sure.
So I think it'd be nice to try Max there, but at the same time, we've talked about the lack of, you know, accountability and all this stuff from the coaching staff.
Right.
And it's like,
here's your reward for not playing well.
Has he earned the right to go up there? Like, it's a chicken and the egg situation where I want them to get him going, but I also like the idea of them rewarding McMahon for a really strong play and him earning that role, starting from a healthy scratch, getting to the top line. I'm kind of caught between both conversations because I do agree.
And the staff is too.
Yeah, I do agree they need to get Domi going. So,
yep, that's a dilly of a pickle.
Okay, where do you want to go? You want to go Pacioretty? What do you want to do?
Well, I think we were talking about secondary scoring and something that just happened before the show, probably about an hour before the show, that's got a lot of my Leaf Twitter brethren a little bit fired up, is about the Brandon Saad situation in St. Louis, where they mutually agreed to buy out his contract or to get a terminate his contract. So he forgoes $5 million in total money?
Elliot reported that he forgoes $3.63 this season and $3.63 next season. His cap hit, I believe, is
four or five. Yeah.
So that's prohibitive for teams to say we don't want him at 4 or 5, but someone might give him 3 with a 3 cap hit.
So the question I have for you guys, and you look at Saad probably playing for Berube in St. Louis, there's a connection there. Secondary scoring type of veteran cup winner guy, would that be a guy you would see as a fit for some secondary scoring on the Leafs?
It's a really good question about what he would play for, because you don't imagine he wants to play for much less than he was going to get. But if he had held to that other contract, he was going to be stuck in the American League. Would he play for 2? You know, like, that changes the math to me for the Leafs. Like, does it make sense at this number, at this number? Because there is a scale where it gets to a number that you'd say, yeah, it does make sense.
I'm with your buddies, Sammy, who are all questioning this as a look into, as a possibility. Mm-hmm. It would have to be a really cheap number. I got to think after 50 games that you've come up with a blueprint of a wish list and, you know, secondary wish list and third. And I don't think Brendan Saad ever came into the equation. How much does it change from here on in? How much are you willing to gamble to find out if the guy can still play or not? Mm-hmm. Like, if he's not good enough for St. Louis, why do we think he's good enough for us? Is a question that needs to be asked. I think, first of all,
he's having a pretty down year this year.
On the surface, you're like, are you crazy, man, leaving $5 million on the table? Yeah. Are you nuts?
Well, he's
that was
not
kind
leaving,
of my thought.
He's not right? leaving it on the table. What's he leaving on the table? $1 million? I know it's a lot of money.
Listen,
but he's made a lot of money.
I don't even think it comes to anything like this unless you are absolutely sure. And I would hope through his agent. We'll get back to you on the buyout. And then in the meantime, I'm making 4 or 5 calls to other teams saying you could sign him right now as an unrestricted free agent. What are you willing to pay?
Right.
So I am almost positive that we're going to hear that he's going to end up with a team in a very near future. And it's already been decided how much money he'll actually
lose. 2 years times $3 million a year.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the Leafs, I wouldn't want to go much deeper than $1 million to try him out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's fine.
I got a tight salary cap. It'll continue to be tight right up until the trade deadline. We've been working on other options. I don't need this to throw a hand grenade into our trade deadline day here if you're not the player that we think that you might still be.
Yeah. His career earnings are $52 million, and he's won
two cups. Both of the Blackhawks in 2013 and 2015. Yeah.
So I'm curious, you know, what he's prioritizing here. If it is, want to be somewhere where I have a chance to win a cup and I'll leave a couple mil on the table for that, or...
Or I want to go to Carolina and... I want to go to California and play for the Sharks and make a little extra and...
Sure.
Play, be the veteran guy on a team.
Yeah.
No, he's not going to... He's not going there. He's not... He wants to look good, be part of something in the spring. He's not going to San Jose.
He's 32.
It's not about the money.
Okay.
I don't think it's about the money. I think it's about an opportunity.
Well, and in that case, it may be about making more money later. If he's 32 and he gets at a good spot, maybe someone says, hey, this guy's still got it. We'll give him another couple of years.
Well, now you're just sign a contract for the remaining of the season. Yeah. And then if you do well, then you go revisit it in the summer, right?
Certainly an option. So
I just think they're... You know, I wouldn't say I'm 100% super excited about the idea and the price would be, but you do see the fit.
Well, and you look at the team and all we do is complain that no one in the bottom six can shoot one in the net.
26 last year for Saad. That's just 1 year ago. 26 is a pretty good year.
Hold on for a second. So you sign him. Let's just say, because we're into hypotheticals this week.
We are. Yeah.
Ask the Vancouver Canuck fans.
Did that get any attention yesterday?
Not really. Okay. You're right away penciling him in with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. Where is he playing then? Tell me where he's playing.
Third line. Somewhere, you know, whatever. Right now you got Pacioretty, Minton, Robertson as a line. I don't know what it looks like with Saad, but I feel better about it replacing any of them.
Really?
So, well, not Pacioretty. You want to play? You think he's got top line chops?
I would think that you
more than Nyes, more than McMahon.
If you want to put him in a position to succeed, then you put him with your best players right away. If you think he's still got some juice, some jam, some legs, go put him with Austin Matthews and see what kind of magic he can create.
Listen, I'm not opposed. Like we're talking, he's got McMahon there now. You're talking about putting Domi there. Brandon Saad's no different to me.
Yeah. I mean, I get. Matthew Nyes is the guy, but they're still relatively inexperienced.
Yep.
And there's a guy with all the experience in the world.
And I mean, with everyone healthy, if all of a sudden your third line is like, you know, Saad, Yarncroc, and, you know, a decent centerman, you're like, okay, well, you got a chance.
And again, this guy's now a free agent. He's got like, he can look around the whole league. I'm not coming here to play third and fourth line. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 32 years old. I think I can play till 35 and I can still be a great player.
It's a pretty big ask to say, I want to be on a cup team and on the top line. Like, teams are going to be like, those spots aren't for you.
Panthers going to be like, welcome to our top six? Like,
I think he could be sold on a real legitimate shot to be a top six guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not starting. I don't want to start on the third line.
Okay. Well,
so.
Good luck to him on finding a top line spot on a cup contender.
Boston. Would Boston take a chance on bringing him in just to make the playoffs?
Okay, but we're stretching the definition of contender. Right? They're out of the playoffs.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that, but at least they're not San Jose.
You're right. Boston has actually makes some sense.
Jersey.
Yeah, they're hurt too, right?
New Jersey would look at him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
God, he can make $3 million in a heartbeat. There's like five teams that make sense for him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You want to talk about Tanev? Going to the Four Nations tournament?
I mean, we talked about Pacioretty a little bit on the top power play.
Okay.
On the top power play, and then we can finish off with Tanev.
Okay. I mean, like, to me, Saad is many ways. Pacioretty is your Saad, where you're just like going, oh, we got this veteran whose best years are behind him, and let's see what we can squeeze out of him. I already got one of those.
Yeah, but this one has two Stanley Cups. And wouldn't you like to have some of that in the dressing room?
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about the great additions they've made, a veteran presence, Thornton, Spezza, Marleau, Simmons, Pacioretty. All of a sudden you go, none of them won a cup? Like, every vet they added has it?
Yeah. Hey, you could add that and, I don't know, make him a video coach and he's still around the team.
Well, sure. Yeah, you keep the vibes. That's fair.
But, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm not sure you're going to overspend for that quality if you don't think the rest of the quality is there.
No, I agree. It is a
Did you say Giordano when you listed that?
Giordano's another one,
Seems to be a bit of a theme.
But let's see if Pacioretty can find that fine line between still being a physical presence and maybe adding a few more goals with the 30 games to go. Let's get Craig Berube's thoughts. Clip 5, Derek.
Oh, just another. So the way, you know, it's been running with Knies and Tavares there normally, we got same type of player there with two big bodies around the net and in blue paint. So looking for things around there, scoring goals in tight, screening the goalie. That's what their job there.
So he's on. That's him talking about him being on the top power play unit. At some point, you just got to go back to Riley, no?
Yeah, I do wonder when that happens.
Not so it's like, what else has to happen here? Like, God love Pacioretty and God love what he's given them this year, but, you know, you're putting him in there instead of just putting Riley back.
But also we're talking about getting Domi going. Like, it's more important to get Riley going. And I don't think that Riley is a great power play player, but I do think you have what you have when you've been dealt, you know, 2-7 offsuit in poker. You gotta play your hand. Or fold it.
Or fold it.
But I don't think you're allowed to fold in hockey.
Not till April.
And they folded. Oh, that wasn't fun.
But, you know, like, I like the idea of it, but do you agree or am I way off here?
Well, you're going to have JT Miller soon anyway, so you don't have to worry about Riley.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not thrilled with 5 forwards.
No, not a playoff fit to you?
No.
And there's some penalty kills that worry you a little bit.
But with no John Tavares still creating a presence around the blue paint, Pacioretty could be real important tonight.
I think that's how they see it, right? He's the natural fitter for finisher, big body who can park it there and do his thing. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I tweeted about today was the schedule. They play 7 of their 8 February games on the road, and then they open March up with 4 of their first 5 on the road. A lot of road hockey here. They haven't been very good. 11-8-2 on the road, but pretty darn good at home. Why don't we check in on Berube with the impact of the schedule? Clip 4.
Yeah, some months. I mean, we went through that stretch earlier on. I thought, well, it's a lot of games and packed in there, compact, you know, and it's going to get like that again in March, obviously. It's just a lot of back-to-backs we had early on, and then it kind of died off a little bit for us, but that was the challenge, I thought, early on, and then, you know, now it's a little bit different now. It's almost, you know, you have too much time off. You know, it's just that unbalanced act going on. That's the challenge that I find. It's hard to get the consistency, you know, but that's the way it is, and you just deal with it and do it the best you can with it. So that's March is going to be a real busy month for us again.
Kip said something. Go ahead.
Like Goldilocks, man. Too hot, too cold. You just can't get it right.
But you said something that has stuck in my mind about 2 or 3 weeks ago where you said teams that have games in hand, you don't view that as like the opportunity to get points. You view that as the potential for more guys to get hurt.
Well, just like there's...
Like Tampa Bay's played 3 fewer games, it's and just, it's like good luck in the end with 3 always, extra games to play.
Exactly. I always find it never funny that someone can look at some other team that's got 3 points, you know, games in hand, and they automatically equate it to 6 points.
Yeah, or even like, 5 or 4, but it's like,
go play those 3 games and tell me that you got 6 points, because sometimes 6 can turn to 1 or 2 with a couple of key injuries and a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, we had 3 games in hand and we're only 3 points back. And all of a sudden you play the 3 games, you got 2 points and 3 injuries. You're like, no, that didn't go how it
works. You didn't have to play those games.
Right? So that to me is always part of the equation. I don't mind sometimes when you've banked those games in and you're still got a relatively healthy squad and your stars are feeling good and they're not too beat up. Sometimes having more games under your belt and you cross the threshold of still feeling good about your roster is maybe a better thing than sometimes all those games in hand.
And just for context, that answer was a question from Friege about the Four Nations face-off and what it's done to the schedule. And he kind of answered it in that way. That's what he was.
Yeah.
So just for context on that answer, but I it has been a weird schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've followed the Leafs our whole lives. It's very different than it usually is.
December, the everydayness of it was crazy. It was just literally every other day.
And then having these long breaks, and like this was a one game week, and then it's like the 2 weeks off for this Four Nations thing. Like, it's a very weird schedule, so it feels like your theory.
I know it feels like it, but I don't know how much. Like, we should look into this a lot more in terms of what exactly Four Nations has done to compress the schedule. I don't think it's crazy.
No?
No, I don't. But well, that's without researching it. At least my perception is that you're still within the window of the number of days that you played last year. And
well, I think in the past there's been a bye week. Like, teams have had a week where they don't play. So this seems like 2 weeks where everyone doesn't play. I wonder if you probably have an extra set of back-to-backs that you didn't have, or, you know, two extra sets, something to that effect. But yeah, it is, it just feels like it's been a little, it's all or nothing so far for the Leafs.
Well, and at the end of the day, there's only one team with the most back-to-backs this season, and that's your Toronto Maple Leafs, right? They'll end up with 16, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Bonkers.
Tanev on the first, on the Four Nations thing?
Before we do that, I want to make sure we hear Berube on Guerin before we get Guerin today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is that cool? We'll
save it last.
Yeah, we'll save it for last.
Okay, well, we got a couple minutes.
But there's a lot to talk about who's going to replace Pietrangelo, and Berube was asked about it today with Tanev. So clip two, please, the first one.
He'd be a great fit. I mean, you know, looking at their lineup and everything and what Tanny brings, you know, Petro brings a lot of that too with the penalty killing and the shutdown stuff. Tanny's, that's his baby. He's very good at that both. So it would be probably a good fit for him.
I can't believe it. Berube should have said absolutely terrible fit. Makes no sense. He's the 43rd best defenseman in the league. What are we talking about? But he's right. He's a great fit.
I don't know publicly if you can say anything less than what he said.
Yeah.
It's just, again, you want to stay consistent. Either you're all in on this or you're all out. And we know Petro's out.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But do you mean the league? Do you mean coaches? Do you mean who should be all in?
Well, Berube's giving you the right answer in terms of what the players want and the league wants. Mm. Like, there's no world that Berube gets to say today, listen, he's their best player. I don't want him to go. I don't want him to get hurt. And then you're sending Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews there. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
It's just like, doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I get it. Logically, you can't say that. And of course, just like Tanev is a guy who blocks more shots than anyone that plays a certain role, who you'd love to get the rest.
Like, the percentages are that he'll be hurt before Austin does or before Mitch does, 100%. Just because of the way he plays.
But I've looked through the options, and it's like, is Doughty ready to go?
Playing tonight.
Playing tonight on the third pair for the Kings. They're going 7D, presumably just in
first
case
game since the preseason.
Yeah.
Broke his ankle.
And it's like, Mackenzie Weegar's probably my next guy up. If it isn't Tanev, kind of does everything. Everyone loves putting Tanev on the ice. The second he's on your team, they're like, oh, he makes every pair better.
Is Tanev still the player he is 2 years from now in the Olympics?
No.
I don't know.
I hope so.
I surely hope so. But if you're Team Canada, there's no reason to take him if you don't think that he's got a legitimate shot to follow this group into the Olympics.
Well, aren't you trying to just field the best team you can?
2 years
to win what?
To win the Four Nations Faceoff, the event that's happening.
To win
presented by Rogers, yeah.
To win what trophy? To win what?
What kind of asinine logic is to try to not win?
No, it's not that you're not trying to win. You're trying to develop a team and a program that will go seamlessly into the Olympics with this group. Yeah, you are.
Kip, it's 2 years away. It could be an entirely different group by then. You'll take the best players that year like you take the best players this year.
No. This is with the fact that guys are going there to show that they can be successful and play a certain role.
It matters
so
in
they
terms
can go to the Olympics.
Showing that you can perform in big games and all that.
That's what this is all about.
Well, then it's Evan Bouchard.
It's not to win trophy.
Then it's Evan Bouchard. Made-up trophy. It's no made-up, more made-up than any of the other ones.
maybe it is Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, if we're doing a development camp, if this is the American League of tournaments.
Yeah.
And the second, if I was on the team and they start bringing, you know, guys who are going to be good in the future, I say, oh, so this doesn't matter then? We're not doing best on best as development? I'm good then. I'm going to be with Petro and Cancun.
It's best on almost best. It's not best on best.
It's our country's best on your country's best. Just because Germany's not there doesn't mean it's not best on best.
Hawk and Pa will play in this tournament.
Yeah, that's Finland's best.
I don't think he will.
That's not best on best.
Who, if it were the Olympics, who would Finland bring instead of him? Someone else?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
So you're saying they're resting guys for the Olympics?
No, I'm telling you, they're not allowed to play. If you're not in the NHL, you're not allowed to play in this tournament.
They're not bringing other Finns from other...
Correct.
Okay. All right. All right, I stand corrected. I personally, unlike you, am not up on the Finnish defensive corps right now.
This guy's grinding.
SM Liga.
He's grinding over Joker.
So who
is it?
Give me a name then, Kip. You seem up on the Finnish D...
To Joker at top pair. Let's hear it.
Joggins on you, Joggins.
I couldn't call you wrong. That might be a name.
We should go.
All right. Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see. When did they announce
replacement?
Substitute.
I imagine they don't until right up close, as close as they can get. Don't know.
Okay. We'll wait. Pins and needles. You say Tanev. I say, I don't know who I say.
Bouchard.
Grant, do you think it's it?
I do. If they're thinking of it in the way that you're thinking of it, I think it's Bouchard.
Uyghur said he'll cancel Mexico.
Which
for him.
Immediately put him on the top pair.
That's a great answer, though, isn't it?
He's got plans and he'd give it up for the country. Top pair.
There you go.
He's a good player.
Okay, well, no. Billy Guerin. Let's get Craig Berube quickly on Billy Guerin.
Okay, yeah. Clip 7.
You've got to hear this.
Yeah, for sure. A hard worker, hardworking team. He was a hardworking guy, very competitive, scored a lot of goals, you know, scored a lot of goals in the blue paint and that type of player and, you know, mixed it up. Like, he was a great all-around player. And Billy's one of the funniest guys you ever want to be around. He's a great guy to be around and hang out with and talk and stuff. He's a fun guy.
Craig.
There you go. You didn't rip him.
No, he's a nice guy.
That's not fun. We saved that.
He's a nice guy.
He likes him.
Okay. We like him, too.
Yeah, we're like him on.
Okay, Billy Guerin. Former National Hockey Leaguer and overall great guy, according to Craig Berube. Up next, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Toronto Maple Leafs set to face off against the Minnesota Wild. As the Wild make their only trip to Scotiabank Arena, let's welcome in Bill Guerin, former NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, now general manager, and does everything for the Minnesota Wild. Billy, how are you, bud? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good, Kipper. How you guys doing? Borny, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. Yeah,
maybe a little healthier than you guys these days and just not necessarily, you know, anybody in your roster going down here, but top players here. How are you handling it?
Yeah, I mean, fine. Look, you guys know it's part of the game. Unfortunately, players get hurt and you know, I think the more you dwell on it, the worse you're going to make it. You just got to focus on the guys that we have in the locker room and ready to play that night. The guys who are injured, it's unfortunate, but we got to do our best just to get them the proper care, get them back healthy, and get them back on the ice when they're ready. But until then, we have to focus on, you know, the game. We have a big game tonight against a very good team. We have to focus on that.
For the record, it's Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov and Brodin as well out of your lineup here. And I assume that whatever's going on with Kirill is the similar situation where he missed, 12 games prior? And it was just an opportunity around the Four Nations tournament to clean something up that's with minimal games played now with the shutdown, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first option is never to put a player on the operating table. You know, unless it's absolutely necessary. You know, this is something that we thought we could kind of rehab on its own, and you know, it just hasn't worked. So, you know, we're going to plan B, and you know, hopefully this will, you know, yeah, it comes at a pretty good time. I mean, if there is a silver lining to it, you know, we got the 2 weeks off for the Four Nations tournament, and you know, that helps. That takes a bit of the sting out of it, but you know, we're a better team with Kirill, with Broads, with Marcus Johansson in the lineup. And, you know, when they get back, they'll be back and we'll be a better team.
Bill, like NHL teams, when they make their quest for the Stanley Cup, it tends to be the elite difference makers. The best teams have these guys that pull them through. Obviously, Kaprizov is one of those guys. But you guys have some great young players who I don't know if other people thought they would become the players they are now. Watching Matt Boldy, I cannot believe how good this guy is. And Faber, same thing. What are the ceilings of these guys? Can they be among that elite class of guys in the league?
I absolutely think so. I mean, I'm obviously a big fan of all those guys, the guys that you mentioned and all our young players. You know, Matt and Faves, they're both on the Four Nations team. They are elite players already.
Right.
But, you know, they still have a lot more room to grow. Marco Rossi's played really well for us this year. You know, Liam Ogren's getting a crack at things. You know, so we need these younger guys to chip in a bit. And you know, well, Matt and Faves aren't really, they're not really young anymore. Neither is, you know, Marco. But, you know, the more we can get from guys like that, but guys like, you know, Liam Ogren chipping in and, you know, some of our role players, some of our bottom six guys, you know, the more we can have them chipping in, the better off we're going to be.
So far, Billy, third in the Central, but Colorado's kind of knocking now a little bit with some movement in their roster. You probably got a few more losses the last couple of weeks that you're comfortable with. How is this changing your mindset going into a trade deadline in terms of big picture and a smaller one to have short-term success here?
You know, I always feel like I have to keep the big picture in mind when, you know, when I'm going into the trade deadline. I think there's a process to success, and I think you have to have a plan, and I think it's extremely important to stick to it. You know, it's tempting sometimes to, you know, want to swing for the fences, and, you know, I think we have on, you know, a couple occasions, but, you know, you just have to step back and think, you know, what's best for the team, what's best for the organization. And it's two different things. Like you said, there's the now, and then there's the long-term, but we have to think about both. And, you know, whichever one we choose, like what's going to benefit us the most, you know, where is this going to leave us? So yeah, but you know, hey, look, I like to be active at the deadline or before. I'm always a willing trade partner. Hopefully the other 31 guys are watching, but it's, and you know, we don't really have, I think we have, last time I checked, we had about 39,000 in cap space. You can't get very good players for that.
I'll play for you. Come on.
Yeah, Borny, we could have probably got you.
39 grand would have done it, Billy, for sure.
a buffet.
Yeah, you know, we're going to do what we can do.
Yeah. So, you know, right now you're kind of a crucial time for yourself because you're kind of looking at this trade deadline coming up, and I know some people have talked about two trade deadlines, almost like doing some thinking before the Four Nations, but then also you're the GM of the Four Nations team. How much are you switching hats? How much are you thinking about that team and how that's going to look?
Every day. I mean, the hat goes off and on both, you know, all day.
Yeah.
And things are always coming up on both teams, but you know, I'm lucky. I've got a lot of great people around me, to help and, you know, ease some of the burden. And, you know, help me make decisions, you know, both with the Wild and with Team USA. So, yeah, it's really important to have good people around you, and I do.
So we just recently heard about Pietrangelo not playing for Team Canada here, and the term that he used was to tend to an ailment.
Canadians aren't happy.
Which, you know, Billy, I'm like an ailment. I'm not even sure, like, if we've ever used the word ailment in hockey history here. And I'm like, you know, and then I Google ailment, Billy, and I find out, like, it's like you tend to put it together with, like, a rash or a cough or, you know, allergies. My question to you is that if a player came to you with an ailment, are you even in a position to question it or, you know, the validity of it? Or is just at the point of, yeah, okay, next man up?
No, next man. Listen, you can't question. Like, you know, you look at Pietrangelo. This guy's a champion. He's a star player. He's been an excellent player in this league for a long time. He's not going to the Four Nations. There's got to be something serious. So you take it serious and you support him. The players need support. They don't need to be, you know, forced to try to force them to do something. They have to make their own decision. The number one priority is the health of the players. And you know what? If a player feels that he's not able to perform at the level that he wants to or needs to tend to something else, then you know what? He just needs the support.
Good answer.
Yeah, you know, I heard a guy who's happy he's not playing on the other team. So looking at your Wild team right now, Marc-Andre Fleury, obviously you're getting some great goaltending from both your goaltenders. How is it balancing, you know, a young quality keeper and then a veteran guy like Fleury that maybe in his last year, or I think he is officially in his last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know me, I'm not a goalie guy. I kind of leave them alone.
Yeah.
I let Freddie Shabbat, our goalie coach, kind of take care of them. And but you know what? Honestly, they get along great. They support each other. They support each other at all costs. And, you know, Flower's been a great mentor for Gus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're both great teammates. And, you know, Gus has grown up a lot in the last couple of years here in Minnesota. And you know, a lot of it has to do with him personally. You know, he's really worked at it. And I think a lot of it has to do with him having Flower right next to him every day. So they're a really good tandem. They, like I said, they support each other, and it's been really good. And yeah, they've played well for us too. That's the most important thing.
So after Toronto, you guys head to Montreal. We assume that Marc-Andre will get the start in Montreal. Would you have to build a little PR team around him for that last visit into Montreal? Or he's just that pro that you don't have to worry about all that attention?
You know, you don't have to worry about him. He can
handle it.
He can handle it. He handles it with such professionalism, grace, you know, humility. Like, that's the thing about Flower, is he's just incredibly humble. And you know, I'm sure it'll be I'm sure the Montreal fans will have some nice things to say about him.
And then the night prior being tonight, Toronto. Any thoughts on this year's Leafs? You guys have seen them already this season. Different than you expected them, or in previous years under Sheldon Keefe, or still kind of the same team to you?
No, I mean, look, they keep getting better. They keep getting more experience. To me, you know, obviously Austin has, you know, been lights out. Marner's always such a good player. They've got a couple injuries themselves. Nylander's the guy that I really think has taken a big step over the last couple of years. I think just, you know, he's got this swagger and confidence about him that I really like. And they're just a solid team. I think Brad's done a great job here. And you know, like I said, I think they're just a solid team.
Billy, just one more, and I'll maybe get you to put your Four Nations general manager's hat back on as we await to see who replaces Pietrangelo. Are you aware of any injuries out there? And if so, how quickly would you go to another guy? Would you have a list already of who can replace who quickly, and how quickly you'd want to get to the guys and let them know?
Yeah, Kipper, I got the list of injuries right here. Let me read it to you.
No, I'm not asking for names, Billy. I'm just asking quickly you would know who could replace who.
I'll take the time. If anything does happen, I'll take the time that we're allowed to make that decision. I think we've thought about this. We've planned for it. I say I take the time, but I don't know. I like making decisions. So maybe I'll just do it right away. But maybe I won't. I don't know.
Okay, and I didn't expect you to give me names on our show.
No,
but
I have them right here. I'll send them over.
Email it to me.
Yeah.
Billy, always great to have you on our show, man. Really appreciate you taking time. Wish you the best of luck in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, fellas. Always great to come on with you guys.
All right. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Bill Guerin. He's one of my favorites, by the way, to have on the show.
Busy guy.
And Craig Ruby's right. Like, you get this guy in a room, you're going to be entertained for quite a long time.
There's actually guys that are like too sharp and funny and cutting in the dressing room that you're almost afraid of them. Like, he is definitely a guy you would not want to get singled out by in a dressing room. Mm. He's got a sharp tongue. Funny guy.
That was funny, though, that you were asking about the injury replacements. I wonder how many more we'll hear coming in here. I wonder if there'll be a few more. Probably will.
I mean, guys get injured. They announce the teams at the start of December, the tournament's mid-February. There's going to be injuries.
Old Petrangelo just creaked open a little door for the ailment boys coming through here.
The ailment boys.
there's other guys that would have been ripped a lot harder than Petrangelo. And Bill touched on just the respect that people have had over his career and what he's done and the championships in St. Louis and Vegas. If it's one guy that you can kind of say, okay, mm-hmm. he'd be in that class.
Yeah, I mean, he's checked every important box. You know, like you said, Olympics and Stanley Cups and all that. He's earned the benefit of the doubt for sure.
Maybe, I don't know. Does he think about the Olympics 2 years from now? Like, if he's hitting a high level, he'll still be there, right?
Yeah, if he's still the same guy, for sure. I don't think they'd kick him off because of this, but I think if it's between him and someone else, maybe this ends up being the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Good interview. Yeah, I love that answer. Let me just read the list off.
How busy would this guy be?
Is he really going to do it?
No, I was. No, yeah, you're the busiest fan on earth.
Yeah.
Where it's just you're trying to do both of these things. And, like, you talk about the drain it is on the players. I mean, imagine trying to run both teams. And I find it fascinating thinking about what John Cooper's going through, right? Where it's like you're trying to stay in the fight of a season and then a bunch of your rivals are getting together on a team and you're going to coach them. It's very interesting.
You can't coach until it's time to coach. Managers can make decisions.
You don't think he's fielding a few texts on players and talking about things?
Who would play together for sure?
Yeah.
So I did bump into Brad Treliving Monday night at the foundation event there for the Leafs. And I'm like, so big plans during Four Nations. He's like, I'm going back out west home to my wife's got me cleaning the garage.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I imagine there would be some peace in that. Never leaves you alone.
Oh, I think he's looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Maybe he could. Maybe he
could get away from this show.
Yeah. Maybe he could make a quick stop over at the Saddle Dome and talk with Conroy about Nazem Kadri.
He's going to do some scouting as well. So but the garage is definitely on the list.
Well, hey, we all got stuff we have to do outside of this stuff.
We were talking about hats, boys. I bought a new hat today.
Did it say NHL on it?
No, it's unbelievable. And I really cannot wait to debut it on the show.
Tomorrow?
Tell us.
It'll be a while. It's a retro one, so it'll be a while.
Top hat.
No, it's fantastic. All right,
a top hat.
All right, it's 1 hour in the books already. Our thanks to Billy Guerin for joining us. And when we return, we go national. Jeff Jackson, CEO and President of Hockey Operations of the Edmonton Oilers, will join us. Don't go away. More to come.